this evening. Let's stand together. We're going to read the closing two verses of Nehemiah chapter 3. And we'll bring you up to speed on where we are and the direction. I'll kind of get us all pointed in the same direction. And then we'll unfold some truths out of this verse. Nehemiah 3:31. After him repaired Malchiah, the goldsmith's son, unto the place of the Nethinims and of the merchants, over against the gate Mifkad. Underline that, highlight that, note that, the gate Mifkad. And to the going up of the corner between the gate, or and between the going up of the corner unto the sheep gate, repaired the goldsmiths and the merchants. Thank you for standing out of reverence for reading God's word. You can be seated. Let's pray together and we'll bring you our 10th and final message on the gate Mifkad. Heavenly Father, tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus, we would humbly bow, acknowledging one more time, Lord, again, that Lord, what you've called us to do, we do not have sufficient strength and ability to do in and of ourselves. Lord, we're coming to you tonight one more time, asking you to clothe us in our calling. Lord, to empower us by the Spirit of God. Lord, to give us unction and anointing and the wisdom, Lord, that comes only from God. Lord, that we might be able to communicate this text and this passage and the things you've laid upon our heart. Lord, it's our desire to be a help and a blessing, Lord, to these that have gathered tonight. Lord, I believe the message that, Lord, we have, Lord, it would cross every line, Lord, that maybe have been drawn tonight to, Lord, separate us and to divide us. Lord, what we're preaching tonight is good for men as it is for women, for old people as young people. Lord, it's as good for sinners as it is for saints. And so, Lord, I pray that you do your work in your way in every heart, Lord, where we stand before you. Lord, I pray when all is said and done, may Jesus have been magnified. May the gospel and the grace of the Son of God, Lord, be something that has been exalted. And may he receive all glory and praise as he alone is worthy. And all that you do, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We've been dealing with, out of Nehemiah chapter number 3, the thought of the gateways to the presence of God. As we look here, this is dealing with the old city of Jerusalem in the time and the days of Ezra and of Nehemiah. The people of God, due to their sin, have been drug away to Babylon and have been in captivity for many, many years. The enemy, having come in and led them away in captivity, literally has laid the city upon heap of itself. They have torn down every wall. They have torn apart every gate. They have left the city in ruin and in rubbish and in much disarray. It is not anything like it once was. The city that had been known as the holy city of God had been reduced to, my friend, smoke, and been reduced to just a pile of garbage. And the luster and the glory and the renown that city had once had, because of sin and the coming in of the enemy, has been laid down. God has raised up another generation in captivity that has a desire and a burden to repair that the enemy has destroyed. He's going to use the men of God and their ministry, the ministries of Ezra and Nehemiah, to lead a great revival in the city of Jerusalem. Nehemiah 3, we're in the time of Nehemiah. He has gone out and he has viewed the city by night. In previous chapters, having been divinely sent and appointed to be there, he takes note of the great ruin and the great task and work that is ahead. What we have in Nehemiah chapter number 3 is the record of the rebuilding of the walls and the gates had surrounded the holy city of Jerusalem, a place where God had promised to keep his name, a place in which God had dwelt, a place that when men and women and families wanted to worship God, they could enter into that city and know they had entered into the presence of the Lord. And so Jerusalem, what a city it is throughout the Word of God, and even in our generation tonight, amen, is to be viewed as a very special place in God's creation. In Nehemiah chapter 3, we find the record in the days of Nehemiah of gates that surrounded the city's walls. These gates are going to be repaired and restored, Dad, and are going to be brought back to use. The wall is going to be raised again. And then the gates, we find the entry ways and the exit ways of how men could come and go into that wondrous city. We began beginning in verse number 1 with the sheep gate and how it typified the Lord Jesus as our high priest and the Lamb of God and the shepherd of our soul. This is where it all begins, that a man, a woman, a boy, a girl must be saved and saved the only way salvation can come. Amen. And that is by the blood of the Lamb of God applied to your heart, having washed your sins away. Amen. That is where our spiritual journey begins. And so we move from the sheep gate to the fish gate to the old gate to the valley gate to the dung gate to the gate of the fountain. In verse number 26, the water gate. Verse 28, the horse gate. And then we ended last week, after a couple of weeks, preaching on the east gate. Amen. How that, my friend, this thing began at the sheep gate. Amen. Last week, we come to the east gate and we heard the trump of God sound. Amen. The return of our Lord coming after us to get us out of this life and out of this world, ending our pilgrimage in these days and this time. Amen. And what a glorious day the coming of the Lord is going to be. Amen. So glorious it is that tonight the Word of God said that the redeemed and those that are saved and truly born again and have quit living for this world. Amen. What are we doing? Paul said, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Can I remind you, He's coming for us one day. Amen. He'll split the eastern sky, and thank God, amen, we're leaving this realm, amen, for the heavenly realm. And what a day that is going to be. Now tonight we come to the 10th and the final gate. And this gate is known as the Gate Miphchad. Now this I would note to you, and I'm just noting it in passing. I don't really even quite understand the reason behind this. Amen. I do know the Word of God is inspired and perfectly preserved for you and I. When we come to this gate, you'll find that this is the only gate that retains its original Hebrew name. And all I'll draw your attention to about that tonight, amen, is that must mean this is a very special and distinct gate. Amen. The sheep gate didn't retain its original Hebrew name. Amen. It's translated in our King James Bible, the sheep gate. Amen. But when we come to the 10th and the final gate, amen, the Holy Spirit led the translators of the King James Bible, amen, in perfection now to leave this as the gate Miphchad. Amen. And buddy, I'm telling you, it is a special, special, amen, a distinct and wonderful name that is given to this gate. Amen. And so let me give it to you. You say Miphchad. Amen. The gate Miphchad. Preacher, we ain't Hebrew and we don't speak Hebrew. What does Miphchad mean? Well, the name Miphchad in the Hebrew literally means an appointed place of gathering. An appointed place of gathering. Amen. The gate Miphchad represents a place of assembly. Amen. A calling together of my friend an assembly. Amen. The sending out of a call in response to a call. By which, my friend, people would come and gather, amen, there in the gate Miphchad, an appointed place of gathering. I think as we study the sequence of these gates, beginning at the sheep gate, and drawing through the sequence and the significance of each of these gates, amen, our spiritual journey through this life, amen, as we made our way last week again to the east gate, we see the Lord coming to get us. Amen. But where is He taking us? Amen. He's taking us to an appointed place of gathering. Amen. You see this Christian journey. Amen. This sequence of these gates brings us in this tenth and final gate, the gate of Miftchad, I believe, to the end of our spiritual journey in this life and our entrance into heaven, our appointed place. I want to remind you tonight, if you're saved, amen, we have not been appointed, my friend, to an inheritance down here. Amen, there is an appointed place by which and wherewith all the saints of God, amen, are going to be assembled and gathered. Amen, and what a wonderful day and a wonderful place that is going to be. Amen, and so tonight I want to look at the gate Miftchad. Amen, as our entrance into the heavenlies, our entrance into the Father's house, our entrance into heaven, our entrance into glory, our entrance into that place that we have been appointed to be and shall be forevermore. Ain't you glad? Amen, this world is not our home. Ain't you glad tonight we're not appointed, my friend, to all of this? Amen, oh, we're here for just a short while. Amen, but one of these days, heaven's going to be in earth. Amen, and there shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen, the gate Miftchad, an appointed place of gathering. I thought about this, the Word of God said, the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, and we have not been appointed unto wrath, amen, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, my friend, we are appointed. Amen. There are appointments that we must keep. There are divine appointments that have been made. As it is appointed unto men once to die, that is an appointment every man, woman, and young person is going to meet one day. You may meet it well on up in your aged years. You may, amen, make that appointment may be made for you when you're old and gray-headed. And by the way, that appointment may be made for some of you young folk. Amen. Just within the next few hours. Amen. And the fact of the matter is, there is an appointment. Amen. It is appointed unto men once to die. Amen. And there is an eternity that awaits you and I. And upon our appointment with death, we have been appointed. Amen. Based upon whether you're saved or you're lost, whether you're a child of the devil or a child of God, amen, God has already appointed the place of your eternity. Amen. That's why it's important you get saved. Amen. That's why it's important that, amen, you take an inventory of your spiritual life and make sure you're ready and died prepared to meet God. Amen. And so for the child of God, we've not been appointed to wrath. Amen. God's judgment is not against us. Amen. Condemnation no longer abides upon us. Hellfire and damnation shall never be our home. Amen. We have been appointed, my friend, not to wrath. Amen. But the saved have been appointed to a greater salvation. Amen. A exit from this world and an entrance into the presence of God. Amen, amen. And so, is everybody on page with me? Amen. The gate Miftchad speaks of our entrance, amen, into our appointed place, heaven. And so what I want to do, I want to look at these verses and I'll give you some historical things and we'll make reference to the Word of God. Amen. And show you several truths about our entrance into heaven, our appointed place, as is seen in the gate Miftchad. And by the way, I'm glad one of these days my journey's going to come to an end. Amen. One of these days, whether by way of the rapture or by way of the grave, amen, our journey, all of us, our journey is going to end in this life. Amen. You better make sure you're ready. You better make sure, amen, that you're my friend on the side that has been appointed, amen, to this place of gathering. And so let me say number one tonight about the Gate Mifkad. I see number one, the Gate Mifkad, our appointed place, our entrance into heaven, that it is a place of registration. A place of registration. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I found in my study that anyone who came into the holy city of Jerusalem, and it was their intent to dwell there, it was their intent to purchase property and dwell in that place to make Jerusalem their home, that when they done that, they had to be on the registry as having been a born citizen, or provide documentation by way of what we would call in our modern day a visa. You know what a visa is? A visa is, I have made reservation. I have made preparation. Hey man, I was not born in whatever country it is, but I long to go there and walk there and dwell there and enjoy that place. Amen. There is a whole process by which, amen, you have to be registered and, amen, show them proof that, amen, you belong and that, amen, you have made preparation. Amen. Can I say tonight, amen, I feel some preach coming on it. Amen. I'm glad 25 years ago, amen, I made preparation. Amen. I didn't get some physical document in my hand. I didn't sign a decision card. Amen. I didn't fill out the forms of the church. But my friend, in my heart, thank God, preparation was made. And my name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And thank God, my name is on the registry on the other side. Amen. Somebody said, what in the world? How in the world do you think you're worthy to go to glory? I didn't say I was worthy. I just said I trusted in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I believed on the gospel and I met the power of God unto salvation. Amen. I ain't going to heaven today. Amen. Because I'm so spiritual. I'm not going to heaven today because I got baptized. I ain't going to heaven today. Amen. Because I joined the church. Amen. I'm going to glory. Amen. Because 25 years ago, I named God eternally wrote down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm rejoicing tonight, not because devils are subject unto me, but because my name's written down in heaven's registry. And the only way you'll ever get in, and my friend, to that place and is appointed for the children of God, is you must make preparation and have your name on the roll. I like the old song. I know it ain't a deep song in this. Amen. These Butch Reformed crowd, they mock us for singing it. Amen. But I love the old song. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Amen. I know it ain't deep, Brother Mike. Amen. I know it ain't deep doctrinal truth. Amen. I know it's kiddie pool in singing. Amen. But I'm about drowned in the kiddie pool tonight. Amen. Thinking about it. Amen. My name's on the registry of glory. It's a place of registration. Amen. The Bible said that in the final judgment at the place of the great white throne judgment, at place where all the sinners, my friend, that refused the gospel message, who resisted the gospel seed, and who trotted under their foot, and as they stand before the Lord in that dreadful day, amen, the Bible said, whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life, that the same was cast into the lake of fire. It's burning with fire and with brimstone. Amen. You know why people are going to go to hell? You know why people are going to suffer eternal damnation? It's because they, my friend, did not make sure that they were prepared to meet God in that holy city. Amen. They've been appointed unto wrath. They've been appointed, my friend, to a place of judgment. They could have made it right. They could have believed on Christ. They could have have met the power of the gospel. Amen. But they lived their life doing their own faith. Amen. And when we make it to heaven one of these days, amen, it'll be a place of registration. Our name is wrote down. A place of registration. Amen. Amen. That'll help you right there. Number two tonight, this appointed place of gathering when we enter heaven's land will find that upon our entrance it is a place of refinement. Yes, sir. Say, what do you mean? Notice with me in the text, after him repaired Malchiah. Then we've read about the goldsmiths before. They were at work between the old gate and the valley gate. But notice with me, amen, the Bible said Malchiah, the goldsmith's son. Amen, I noted that at the gate in Mithkad, we are introduced to the son of the goldsmith. Amen, the goldsmith here, Brother Joe, simply means refiner, a refiner. Amen, and in particular, a refiner of gold. Amen. Job said in his earthly life, in the trials that he was facing, amen, he spake of the fact that though the Lord was trying him, when the Lord got done trying him, amen, he would come forth as gold. Amen. In other words, it was through the trials in the valleys of life, amen, that Job realized he was being refined. And can I say, since the day we got saved, the Lord has been refining us. Amen. Our Father is a goldsmith. Amen. And he uses his son and his son's power and his son's knowledge and his son's work in our life. Amen. To refine us on this side. And let's be honest tonight. Amen. I've been saved 25 years. Amen. And I can say he's done a refining work on me so that I am not the man that I used to be. Thank God I'm not the man I used to be. I'm not everything I ought to be. And I'm not the man I used to be. He's still there. Oh, hallelujah. Amen, Brother A.L. The young and sing the little. Amen. The little children's song. Amen. Spiritual song. He's still working on me. And can I say that's exactly what God is doing? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Amen. And thank God he's in work in my life. And if you're saved, he is your refiner and he's still working on you. Now, we're not what we used to be, but let's be honest, it doesn't matter. I've been saved 25 years. I'm still not what I ought to be. So the refining work continues. The refining work, amen, goes on, my friend, so long as we're in this vessel. Amen. So long as we're in this flesh. Amen. He is doing his refining work. Amen. Purifying us again and again. In fact, the phrase the goldsmith's son means a refiner. And it speaks to us of the process of purifying that the smith accomplishes in removing the dross from the gold. The goldsmith has a goal in mind to get the dross and the impurities and the filth and the dirt, because he knows there's value in the gold. Amen. But so long as there's dirt in the gold, amen, it diminishes its value. Amen. May I remind you this evening, and upon our call to enter heaven's yonder gate, amen, there will be a change that takes place. Amen. There will be one more step of the refining process. Oh no, let me back up. There will be one final stage of the refining process. Amen. And the child of God will be made like Jesus, finally free from the dross of this flesh, finally set free from every impurity of sin, finally set free from every stain in the flesh, finally set free from every battle, amen, and lusting of the flesh against the spirit. Oh, what a blessed day that's going to be. A place of refinement. You say, preacher, have you got any scripture for that? Oh, I'm glad you asked for it in 1 John chapter number 3. And in verse number 2, I got to read this to you tonight. Hey, man, oh, I'm glad we're heading to a better place. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. In other words, John the Beloved said, I ain't what I'm going to be. It hadn't appeared yet. I haven't reached the pinnacle yet. I have not attained yet what I've been saved to be. I've been striving. I've been leaning on His bosom. I've been loving Him and He loving on me. I ain't what I used to be. I've come a long way, but it does not yet appear what we shall be. Amen. But notice what He said. Hallelujah. He said, amen. He said, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is.
Amen.
I say one of these days, amen, when we reach our appointed place of gathering, amen, on heaven's yonder shore, amen, there is an appointed place. And but Jack, it's going to be a place of refinement. Amen. Is there anybody else here tonight? You get frustrated with yourself. Amen. And how do you give way to the flesh? And you give way the things you would, you do not. The things you would not, you do. Amen. And God is working in our life and we're thankful. But and it seems like the closer we get and the more holy we get and the more pure we get, we realize we still have such a long way to go.
Yes, sir.
We enter into glory's land. Here's what Miss Mary, here's what the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 5. And when he presents us to himself, amen, every spot and every wrinkle is going to be taken away. Amen. Any such thing as a wrinkle and a spot, amen, will no longer dwell in the bride of Christ. Amen. And all the wrinkles are going to be ironed out. Amen. All the spots are going to be finally washed away. Amen. Every such thing that's in our life that doesn't bring glory and honor to Him. Amen. One of these days we're going to a place of refinement where we'll be just like Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Don't get too excited now. Amen. If that settles in and dawns on you, you'll explode tonight. Amen. Place of refinement. No flesh, no fleshly nature is going to enter the other side. Land of no more sin. Land of no more curse. Land of no more bad thoughts. Land of no more disobedience. Land of no more rebellion. Amen, amen. A land, praise God, where we'll be refined in the very image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Number, what are we on? I don't even know what we on. 3, are we on 3? Amen. I don't know if y'all can handle much more. It's a place of reunion. Notice what the Word of God said. After him repaired Malchiah, the goldsmith's son, unto the place of the Nethinims. The Bible said, and of the merchants. And of the merchants. You say, preacher, that's a funny word. We don't use that. Amen. We don't use that word a lot. Maybe at the bottom, y'all probably don't pay attention to your receipt. Amen, when you go out to eat, but at the bottom of it, it'll say merchant's coffee. Amen. And what that means is you done business. Yet it's a business transaction that takes place. But as it's used in the text and throughout the economy and the place there of Israel and the Middle Eastern culture, a merchant, these are traveling tradesmen. These are people that travel. These are people that spend their time away from home. Amen. But here at the gate Mifkad, they have ceased from their weary journey and are reunited at the gate. Amen. One was on another path. The other was going this way. Amen. Another merchant, tradesman, had spent his time. Amen. On some other foreign soil. Amen. But now the Bible said in Nehemiah chapter number 3. Amen. All the weary travelers. Amen. All those, amen, friend, had spent their days. Amen. Going here and going there. Amen. Carrying their goods and offering, man, friend, what had been given to them. Amen. There is going to be a place of the reunion. Amen. You know what heaven's going to be? It's going to be a place of reunion. Amen. It's where all God's children. Amen. I told you last week, the East Gate, we learned we're all just pilgrims passing through. Amen. Thank God, Brother A.L., one of these days, all those that journeyed as merchant tradesmen. Amen. Those that just done the will of God and live for Him as travelers through this life. When we get to heaven yonder shore, there's going to be a reunion day. Amen. We're going to meet our grandparents who lived for God, stood for the old time way, and remained faithful to the day of their death. Amen. Longing for that blessed yonder shore. Amen. The men of God that have preached to some of y'all that, amen, passed off the scene of many years ago. Amen. Oh, how your heart misses them and their ministry. And you've been left behind on your own journey. Yeah. And in your own travels through this life. Amen. I'm telling you, one day there's going to be a reunion day. Amen. Some of you have lost parents who were saved. Some of you have lost children who were born again. Amen. Some of us have had friends that outrun us in this race. Amen. I'm a thinking tonight of Brother Jennings and Brother Tony and Sister Ella and so many others. Amen. And if I go listing them, I'm sure I'm going to leave someone out. Amen. That have died since we've been at Calvary. Amen. May I say one of these blessed days. Amen. There is a place of reunion at the appointed gathering place. Amen. Amen. It's just farewell for a little while. Amen. But one of these days, every child of God, amen, they're going to take their last step. Amen. They're going to round the last bend. They're going to climb their last mountain and cross their last valley. Amen. We're going to go through our last night and live our last day. Amen. In this life as we know it. And when eternity begins, it'll be a place of reunion. Amen. The Bible said, and the Lord comes back, the dead in Christ are getting up first. Amen. One preacher said, somebody asked him one day, why does the dead in Christ get up first? He said, because they got 6 feet further to go than we do. Amen. Amen. I don't know about all that, but the dead in Christ are going to get up first. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. And Paul said, when we hear the trumpet of God, amen, He ain't just taking the dead in Christ. They may go first, but we which are alive and remain. We which are alive and remain. I said, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Oh, what a reunion day that's going to be. Amen. Paul wrote that and Paul gave that. Amen. To a crowd that was upset and their hearts had been broken. Amen. And he said, hey, I don't want you sorrowing as those who have no hope. They had seen their saying, beloved ones, go on before.
Sissy Paul said, don't you sorry as somebody who has no hope in this life. And he ended that whole text saying, comfort ye one another with these words. In other words, be reminded there is a reunion day coming. Amen. Oh, if you're not saved tonight, you better get saved. If you're not ready to meet God, you better be prepared. Amen. Tonight, because, amen, this reunion day is for the children of God. Amen. Amen. A place of reunion. Amen. I'm looking at it just so I know when I'm off the radio, so y'all get off my back. Amen. Place of reunion. Then let me say tonight, amen, it's the place of review. When we enter heaven, it's a place of reunion. Well, boy, what a happy time that's going to be. It's going to be a place of refinement where finally we will attain that for which we've longed to receive, a place of registration. Amen. But it's going to be a place of review. This Hebrew name given to this gate, Mifkad, not only means a appointed place of gathering, but it literally means a review or an inspection. Historically, it's believed to be the place that David greeted soldiers returning from the battlefield. This was the time that they would be marching back. The war had been fought and the battle had been ended. This was their time in which they, coming through the Mifkad gate, would meet their king. King David would be there, amen, to greet them as they made it back into the city of Jerusalem. It was upon coming through the gate Mifkad and seeing their king and welcomed by their king that they would receive their accolades and they would receive their awards for faithfulness fighting in the battle for the king. And I say one of these days our battle's going to be tied. Amen. Our swords will be seen for the last time. Our shields will be worn on our back. Amen. And we're going into heaven's yonder sword. Amen. We may go with some injuries. And we may go with some cuts and some bruises. Amen. We may have blood and sweat and tears running down our cheek. Amen. But it'll all be worth it. And we see our king face to face one day. Amen. Somebody said, when I get to heaven, Peter's going to be there to greet me. Amen. You didn't get that reading the Word of God. Amen. You didn't get that. Amen. You didn't get that reading the Scripture. Amen. You know who's going to greet us when we get to glory. Amen. Listen to the words of Stephen, the old preaching deacon in the early church. Amen. As he made a stand for the gospel's sake, and he preached the Word of God to his generation, and they turned on him and they hated him so bad and they stoned him with stones while he was being stoned. The Bible said, and he looking steadfastly up into glory said, I see Jesus. I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Amen. You know what? You know who welcomed Stephen in and his entrance into glory? Amen. It was his king. Amen. The king was there to greet him. A king was there to stand for him. Amen. And I believe that a son of God said, well done, servant Stephen. Well done, soldier of the faith. You fought a good faith. You didn't compromise. You didn't give in. And you made it to the entrance of glory. Amen. And so it ain't Peter that's going to be there to greet us. I ain't looking for accolades from Peter. I ain't looking for pats on the back from a mammal. Amen. I'm looking for the one who is the captain of my salvation. Amen. The one who is my Lord and the one who is my King. Look in the text. I ain't going to finish this tonight, but look with me. And the Bible said in verse 31, and after him repaired Malchiah. Malchiah is the one that said the gate Peleg Mithcath. You know what Malchiah's name means? It means the King of Jah, a King of the Lord of glory. Amen. It means the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Amen. You know who we're going to see. You know who's going to be there to witness us. Amen. Entering into glory. Amen. It's going to be our King, the One who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords.
Hallelujah. Thank you. What a day.
Amen, preacher. I'm just talking about worrying no more. I'm talking about laying down our, amen, our cross. I'm talking about ceasing from our labor. I'm talking about walking off the battlefield and entering into a land of rest, a land of no more war, a land of no more strife, a land of no more battle, a land of no more weariness, a land of no more, amen, temptation. What a day that's going to be when we lay eyes on Him. Well, glory, hallelujah. It'll make it worth every mile of the trip. It'll make it worth every battle we ever fought. Amen. Are you listening to me today? Amen. It ain't going to be LeBron James that we meet. It ain't going to be Hollywood star. Chuck Norris ain't going to be at the gate. I'm talking about the One that outshines them all. Amen. The fairest of 10,000. He'll be there when we enter in heaven's gate. Glory to God. Amen. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? Paul said we see Him now as through a glass darkly. All we can see Him is by faith. Amen. But amen, when this journey's over, thank God, we're going to walk into heaven's gate and we're going to see our Savior face to face. Hallelujah. I say glory to God. I say what a day that's going to be. Amen. That ought to do something to every one of us tonight. Amen. To say I want to stay faithful in the faith. I don't want to quit in this journey. I want to reach the other side. Amen. May my King be pleased how I fought my fight. Paul said I fought a good fight. Paul said I fought a good fight. Brother Lee Davis said, amen, Brother Lee Davis used to say, Brother Jack, you knew Lee Davis. Lee Davis used to say, I don't know if I fought a good fight, but I've been in a few good fights. I say I've been in some doozies. I've been trying to fight a good fight. I don't know how well I fought. I don't know how many victories I've won. Amen, all I know. Amen. It's on my most wearisome, tired days. I'm trying to stay in the fight. I'm trying not to lay down the sword. Amen. Because I know one of these days, amen, I'm headed to a place of review. Amen. And I just believe with all my heart today, amen, on that day when we see Him, it'll be worth it all. Glory to God. I'm glad my house ain't that far away, Brother Larry. I feel like I can run home and back right now. Amen. Do y'all understand what I'm preaching? Seeing Him.
Amen. What a Savior, what a Savior.
The King of kings and the Lord of lords.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Boy, there's a lot here in this point. I think maybe I ought to just end right there. Amen. A place of review.
Yes, sir.
In this place, notice the gate Mithcad. Let me give you this and we'll wind her down. This is called the place of the Nethinims.
Amen.
Y'all remember we studied the Nethinims earlier in Nehemiah 3. They was up there, wasn't it, around the water gate? Amen. They used to be Gibeonites in the days of Joshua, a bunch of liars and deceivers. Bunch of con men. They tried to sneak in. Amen. They tried to sneak into the family of Israel using deception. They got caught in their lies. They deserved judgment. They deserved, my friend, to be cut off. But Joshua, being the one who testified, Jehovah is my salvation, gave them grace and an opportunity by gracious means to enter into the family of God. He said, you deserve death, but I'm going to make a covenant with you. Amen. And he made them, what did he make them? You remember, he made them hewers of wood and drawers of water. They said that we don't care what you make us, just don't kill us. We're putting ourselves at your mercy and your grace. They were forced into service among the family of God. Y'all remember us dealing with that? Y'all remember how we said in the days of David, these people had become so dedicated to their work and so faithful to it that David took them and he changed their name from Gibeonites to Nethinims. He said, now I'm going to bring you into the very house of God and you're going to carry on and help the Levites in their menial tasks. Things that seem insignificant that somebody has to do. You got to do it. Would you be willing? They said we'd be willing to do it. Amen. We find now in Nehemiah chapter number 3 that they have willingly returned from Babylonian captivity. That was their time to make a break. That was their time they could have walked away. But Jack, that was their time they could have excused themselves and said, we're done with the family of God. We're done doing the menial tasks. We're done cleaning the toilets and mopping the floors. And we're done being bossed around and told to do this and not do that. Amen. But they did not forsake their calling. And they did not abandon their covenant with their God. Amen. When they began to return out of Babylon, here come the Nethinims.
Amen.
You know where their place is? Their place is around the gate Mifkat. How many of y'all feel like at times in your Christian life, service for the Lord, it's so menial? Well, maybe I'm the only one that it's small. That you're not really making that much of an impact. That others have these great responsibilities and are seeing great and grand and glorious things accomplished, and you just show up Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You just put your little alms in the offering plate and try to be faithful in giving to God, and you get under a little burden that you want to support missions and missionaries, and so you give above your tithes and your offerings for the cause of the gospel. But how does that even compare to those who forsake all family and houses and lands and conveniences and go and plant churches and preach in crusades and see thousands saved? And you just show up and you open your little hymn book and you sing and you worship God, and somehow we sometimes feel like not really that big a deal. Can I tell you, even the Nethinims,
yes, sir,
and even the smallest things that are done for the cause of Christ are brought into review when we enter heaven.
Amen.
So you keep on showing up.
Yes, sir.
But Charlie, you keep on giving your tithes and your offerings. Jesse, you keep trying to find some ways to make money and support missionaries as you're able. Amen. You keep walking in here and pick up your little red back church hymnal, and when Jerry said, let's sing unto the Lord, you just open up your voice and let her fly and sing like you're just madly in love with the one you're singing about. One of these days, what seems like such a small, insignificant, not really accomplishing much Christian life, the King will review
your faithfulness to just doing the menial things. And on that day, you'll look back every time you went to church and you didn't feel like going to church. And you kept on serving God even though you had been hurt and betrayed and discouraged and depressed. But somehow something on the inside said, no, don't quit today. You know what a lot of us are? We're just Nethinims. We're a bunch of folk who live lies and we're deceivers that God showed some grace to and put something down in our life. We don't want to abandon the Lord. We just want to stay faithful. Amen. I can't do much and I can't be much. What I am by the grace of God. But what He has called me to do and called me to be, I can be faithful to Him. I'm telling you, there's a lot more under this point I'll pick up on next week. But it's a place of review. Child of God, one of these days it's going to be worth it all. In the choir book, choir sings from time to time, it's been worth every mile. It's been worth every trial. It's been worth everything we faced in His dear name. And it'll be worth it all when we see His face. It's a place of review. Child of God, I know as we're traveling through here, it seems weary and hard and tough at times. Just remember, the gate Mifkad, there is an appointed place where all the children of God are going together and finally be at home. Amen.